Blog Talk Radio.
I see the morning coming in your eyes. Jubilee, Jubilee. It's shining brighter than the sun in the sky. Jubilee, Jubilee.
I hear your joy bells ringing in your voice.
Jubilee, Jubilee.
Your kind of singing cutting through the noise.
Jubilee, Jubilee. Oh,
Jubilee.
You're the kind of joy that I need. Shining brighter than the sun in the sky. Jubilee, Jubilee. Oh, yeah.
And bless his holy name. And certainly, we're looking forward to a jubilee in our land, which is yet to come, but it's always good to look forward to something. Isn't it? My name is Yom Sufar Reef, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. Now, you may be wondering, if you're a new caller, what are the processes when calling in if you want to speak? Process is this. If you're not a permanent host, student host, you must hit number one. Brings you into the queue. I can see you. And we never walk away from people. And you may be wondering also in these studies. Yom Sufar Reef. What are you guys studying on? Well, one subject matter, two actually, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub and his heritage, his people, his chosen people. We try to give it an intelligent, unemotional study. Although it elates us and makes us happy, we don't try to let our emotions dictate our studies. Rather, a clinical analysis and assessment. We try to do this study in an intelligent manner, an accurate manner, a clinical analysis and assessment, which means not guided by emotions. We try to give you a bird's eye view, a critical analysis and assessment also, while leaving no stone and a leaf unturned in his regard and his heritage, his chosen people. Yes, often we are elated by our studies, but we are not dictated by our emotions in these studies. We call it how we see it, not what we feel about it. And you may be wondering, Yom Suf also, Well, who is the we you're making reference to? Well, Cartrell from New York City. Brother Cartrell. Sister Abia from New York City also. I'm only calling those whose hands on deck right now, but there's many more. And the case in point, Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. Sister, well, we call her Mama, Ima Hadora from Illinois. And so on and so forth. And they love the Most High with all their hearts, mind, soul, and strength. And why do I know this? They've been calling out to you, calling out for you, calling out on you. They've been here often as possible, Monday through Friday. They're not getting paid for anything. And they're not doing this simply for the fun's sake of it, because it ain't fun. In a sense, if you got to put all this stuff together, you got to be on deck. You know, it ain't fun. We enjoy it, though. Don't get it twisted. So, I know that they love the Most High with all their heart. They don't love me like that. I can't get it out. Yeah, they love me. But not like that. Monday through Friday, here putting in that work for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and their brothers and sisters. That's why I know, and you should know, that they love the Most High with all their hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and their brothers and sisters as they love themselves, as they should. Learn to love yourself so you can learn to love your brothers and sisters, because it's virtually impossible to love your brothers and sisters whom look anything remotely like you in the mirror. It's true. Learn to love yourself. Don't let people pee on your parade and call it sunshine. No. You tell it all. It's teepee. And that ain't no sunshine. And I do love me. I'm not no monkey. I'm not no nigger. I'm not none of those things. And I love my brothers and sisters because they ain't none of those things either. So try to pee-pee on our parade. You'll learn that too in your studies. Want me to introduce them to you? By all means. Sister Abia from New York City. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family, and all praise and glory to Yah. Oh, it's so good to be back. And I'm glad to be here like I always am. Plus, may Yah keep on blessing us with this show so we get the word like that we need.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
May he keep on blessing us and our family. Shalom.
Certainly, sister. And as Sister Avia says, keep on blessing us, y'all. We need it. And bless your holy name. Thank you. It's good to have you back, Sister Avia. It's good you're here.
Tora.
Tora. You're learning some big $4 words now, ain't you?
Yeah, if you're hanging with the right people, I ain't stopping boom.
You better believe it. Tora. Now, Sister Avia. We're going to bring on your sister, our sister, from Detroit, Michigan, Sister Yehudi. Sister Yehudi, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. I just woke up. How's everybody?
We're doing
I'm
okay.
Thankful.
How you doing? How you doing?
Okay, I can't complain. Just up here, quiet. Just chilling.
Well, I got
I'm glad.
Okay,
huh?
Well, I got my cornbread. Oh, and I told you, you know, hold on. You know Cartrell started some mess. I think that last week, a week before last, talking about some oxtail. They in the crock pot now, ready to get crickety crock.
One comedian said, "There's no," he said, "we ain't got no ox in the United States. Who would get caught from with oxtails?" I started laughing. I said, "They stupid. No, we ain't got no ox." This I never came in what comedian that is. Was it Griffin? Boy, look at me. I said, they stupid.
You know what he said? We ain't got no oxtails. Okay.
Come on. Right. Who heard of us? Who called oxtails oxtails when we don't have no ox around? Come on, where the oxuses are?
You know what? We got the ox. So that's why they call so darn much. They call so darn much. Yeah. Well, okay.
Sister Yehudi, who tell
he said he is?
Huh?
Who's the tail of that animal that we love to eat? Who's the tail that he's saying that is?
Isn't it a cow when you say oxtails? I don't know.
Isn't it? I always thought it was an ox. So, Xavier, you know about this talking here?
No, I don't know.
Is it a real ox?
Maybe
Katriel got a toe in on this conversation. He
I never thought about that. Okay, yeah, yeah. Bring him on.
Well, Katriel was started by eating them oxtails. All right, praise y'all. Thank you, Sister Yehudi. And Katriel, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom. May the Most High bless y'all as well. All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah, I'm Sue. Come on, man. You don't want to mention oxtail first, bro.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Hold on. Wait just a minute.
I just mentioned. When you mentioned oxtail, I said I have some too. Because Sister Abby said she had ate something that you had mentioned, and it was an oxtail. Because you said you had some oxtail cooking. I'm like, wow, that's so coincidental because I just ate some oxtail.
You're right. My memory is stirred up, Katya. I do apologize. But let me ask you about them oxtail. Is that a cow or ox?
Well, ox is a cow. A cow is an ox. A bull, you know, basically same family. What's the difference between an ox and a bull?
A bovine. Do the same thing. Okay.
All right. Basically the same thing.
Same thing. Well,
some people call it ox. Ox is a male cow. Call it a bull. Some people call it bull. Some people call it ox.
Right. Okay.
Ancient times, they called it ox. Right?
Okay.
In ancient times, they called a male bull an ox.
Okay. Yeah,
it's right. It's a male cow. It's just funny though.
You looked it up.
Let me look it up right quick. An ox. Okay. Wait just a minute. Hold your horse. Hold your oxes. I'm gonna look it up right quick. Kadre, you got anything to share with us while we're looking up this animal?
You know why we made oxtail a delicacy?
Okay, tell me.
Slavery.
It's the only part of the animal that the slave masters would give us.
Slavery.
Gotcha. Now that sounds like an oxymoron. That's a joke.
<Little bear.
laughs> Oh, okay.
Are you okay over there?
Okay. Ox by Wikipedia. An ox, also known as a bullock, is a male bovine trained and used as a draft animal. Ox are commonly castrated adult male cattle. Okay. Cadre was right. Ox, Wikipedia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know something? Why is it that, slang? Like I would hear the old timers say, look at that cow standing over there. Like, they're talking about a human, like a female. Like a cow is only a female.
Wouldn't it have been a female cow, Sister Abby? It would have been a cow standing over there.
Oh, okay.
No, the word is heifer.
Yeah, but I've heard a lot. Yeah, I know heifer. But I hear them saying cow, too. Look at that cow standing on the corner.
Oh,
so a cow and a heifer is the same thing.
All right. Yeah, I know about that heifer because I got called that a couple of times when mama was mad.
Oh, boy.
I called you a cow. That's darn shame.
You're a bad
Yeah, well, When mama mad, mama mad.
But any kind of peculiar that we eat the male bull's tail and not the female cow's tail?
No,
y'all ain't cooking no cow tail, are you?
No. No, it's not that peculiar to me, Cartier. Consider the dynamics of the biological relationship with cows, how they have baby cows. I don't want none of that tail. Give me that tail.
I'm just saying.
What have you said? That helpful? Gotcha.
You can tell some people been on off the farm for a long time.
that's why we need to get back to the land and get back on the farm. We don't. We had a good time. That's good. Yeah. Y'all ready to put in work, Sister Yehudi, Sister Aviyah, Brother Cartrell?
That's why we're here.
Thank you, brother. We started with the book of ended with the book of Joel, and now we're coming to the prophet Amos, who is from Tekoa, and Tekoa. Let me read right. Let me read what I lifted. It was the biblical Tekoa was situated in the south of Jerusalem on the border of the Judean desert close to Bethlehem. And it says the name of Tekoa is trumpet that is confirmed. The name means trumpet that is confirmed. And Amos was from there. And I hear the words of Amos in regards to the Elohim, chosen people. Now, Amos was a sheep breeder, I don't know if he owned the sheep or he was working for the sheep breeder, but it implied that he owned sheep of Tekoa. He wasn't probably a big rich guy, but he owned enough sheep to be a breeder of those sheep of Tekoa, which concerning Israel is putting it in the time frame. This prophecy concerning Israel in the days of, here's the time frame, Uzziah, king of Yehuda, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Jodas, king of Israel. These two tribes were still in place there. 2 years before the earthquake, he said. I don't know if that earthquake was figuratively or literally, that an earthquake, when Yah comes, is like an earthquake, but I would maybe go so far as to say, it was literally an earthquake, because we didn't keep records. The Elohim roars. Yeah, go ahead, Cartrell.
We see the time frame and the time period that the prophet Moses is in. He's
exactly
talking about King Jehoiakim, King Jeroboam.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they first split up.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
King Uzziah.
Mm-hmm.
Uzziah and Jeroboam.
King Uzziah and King Jeroboam, they are in the beginning period of the split of the kingdom. So why is the prophet Amos in this position in the Bible when he should be way up further ahead than all the other prophets we just read? If he's in the time of King Uzziah and King Jeroboam, he should be like right after the prophets Isaiah and prophet Jeremiah.
I don't know why they placed him at this juncture in these studies. As Katya alluded to, he should have been way before the studies of most of these prophets.
Especially Daniel.
Exactly.
But he's after Daniel.
Exactly.
But the thing is with the prophet Amos, his prophecies are a lot like the prophet Joel's. He kind of picks up where prophet Joel left off or vice versa.
Okay. Well, Joel should be here in this back end. He should be perhaps higher up the studies with Amos, the prophet Amos. All right. Thank you, Cartier. Yah, the LM, roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn. The top of Carmel withers when Yah does this. Thus says the LOM, judgment on the nation. For three transgressions.
No, it says this will happen in my book. The prophet says Yah will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem.
Yes,
and the pastures
you.
Of his shepherds will mourn, and the mm-hmm. tops of Carmel will wither. And we read
okay.
that yesterday in Joel, where the Most High said he's going to roar out of Zion.
Exactly. Thank you, Katriel.
I don't know why your book doesn't show it in the future.
I don't know, brother. But we know this is futuristic. I'm glad you pointed that out. Thus said the LOM, for three transgressions of Democus, and for four, I would not turn away his punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron into captivity. Us, but I would send a fire to the house of Hazael, which was an Armenian king out of Syria, which had devoured the places of Ben-Hadad, which was his son, the Assyrians. I will break the gate bar of Democus by virtue of these Assyrians and cut off the inhabitants from the valley of Aven. That valley of Aven means trouble. And the one who holds the scepter from Ben-Eden, the people of Syria shall go captive to Kir, says the Elohim. Thus
so,
said the Elohim. Yeah, go ahead, Katri.
So, mm-hmm. What's the capital of Syria today?
Syria capital. I believe it's Kirkcaldy. Let me look up before I confirm myself. Syria capital. Capital. Capital city. Capital city. Syria capital city. What is the real capital city of Syria? Damascus? What is the name of the city of Syria? Okay.
Damascus.
Capital, Damascus. Damascus. You're right. Damascus. Mm-hmm.
Can you just read that?
Is that?
Syria and Damascus?
I certainly did. Mm-hmm.
And don't they have names like Ben-Hadad in Syria and Damascus today?
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you, Kadriel.
So,
thank you very much for pointing. Go ahead, Kadriel.
It just shows that we're reading history, not mythology or theology. This is history.
And that's that on
but
there,
Syria and Damascus still exist, and the people, they still have names like Ben-Hadad.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Kadriel. Appreciate that, brother.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Thus said the LOM, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I would not turn away its punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity. Y'all don't like folk putting their hand on us. To deliver them up to Edom, our brother. But I would set a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. I will cut off the inhabitants from Ashdod, and the one who holds his scepter from Ascalon. I will turn my hand against Ephraim, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish. The Philistines, says Yah Elohim. Commentary, Katriel.
So, yes. Gaza, don't that name sound familiar?
Yeah, right on. What they're fighting over there right now. Gaza Strip.
And who's fighting for the Gaza Strip right now?
Edom.
You.
Mm-hmm. Edom. And I guess these are the remnants of the what is that name? Let me get the
remnants. Palestinians.
Philistines.
Palestinians. They don't say Philistines.
Mm-hmm.
They say Palestinians, which is off.
We know the real name.
But they're not the real Philistines, because the Philistines also are Mizraim.
Mm-hmm.
They're related to what people call today Egyptians. The Egyptians and the Philistines both came from their father Mizraim.
Exactly. And they didn't look nothing like these people. These are the people These are the people that moved in, a mixture of Arabs and so on and so forth. Then they mixed in and came over pretending to be Philistines. In fact, that Nat Cottrell pointed it out succinctly. And you ought to understand that. You need to understand the whole contextual studies of this. Continue, Cottrell.
I'm talking about historic names. Now, we mentioned Damascus of Syria. Now you mentioned in Gaza. And these names are in the news today. These are ancient cities. And this is ancient history. So people have to know that the prophets are speaking about ancient, present, and futuristic history at the Most High intent.
Exactly.
And all those nations that put their hands on Yah's people, they're not quite around like they used to be. And Arab, you mentioned that, it means mixture.
Exactly. And thank you, Katja. And this next one, Tyree, we all know about Tyree and Sidonia for four. And here's what they're acting in the thing. When we were trying to get away, they took us up in captivity and brought us to Edom. I would not turn away the punishment, because they delivered the whole captivity to Edom. They were participants in the confederation also, and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. They didn't remember to treat us like brothers, because they looked, the ancient Tyrees looked like us. But I would set a fire upon the wall of Tyree, which he did by way of the so-called Alexander the Great and the Roman, Greco-Roman Empire. I would set a fire upon the wall of Tyree, which shall devour his palaces, which it did, where they had to take it from the land and put it out on an island when they were almost subjugated by the Greeks. But when the Romans came along with their engineering technology, they put them on after misery. Thus said the Lord. For three, transgression of our brother Edom. And for four, I will not turn away his punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword. Our brothers had always sued us, Edom. Continues to do so as we speak. And didn't have no pity. They cast off all pity in our regard. His anger in him tore perpetually. He kept his wrath forever, and he ain't let up with it yet. You better believe it. I will send a fire upon Timon, which shall devour the palaces of Moraz. Thus said the Elohim. For three transgressions, our cousins, they will be in on it. For three transgressions of the people of Amnon, our cousin, by way of Lot's son. And for four, I will not turn away his punishment, because they ripped, these people actually ripped open the women with Cheryl and Gilead. They hated us with a passion, still do too, wherever they are. But I, that they might enlarge their territory. But I will send a fire in the walls of Rabbah. I shall bar it palaces amid shoutings in the day of battle, a tempest in the day of the whirlwind. Their kings shall go into captivity, and they are, because we don't know where the heck they are. And his princes together, says the Elohim. We don't know what Amnon is, but Yah says they are in captivity too. Cottrell, so Shehudi, so Saviah, may the Most High bless you and direct and order your steps so you can keep it sharp. He has your tongue. He does have your tongue, but you have the mics.
So we see that the prophet Amos is a continuum of the prophet Joel's prophecy that the Most High gave us for the day of judgment. He's more specific in outlining the nations and why Yah is judging these nations. And these nations ain't around no more. They like incognito. But y'all gonna get them. It doesn't matter that they change their name. The Most High still knows who they are. And it's just revealing that these historic places still exist as we speak today, Damascus and Gaza. But they don't teach us their history like they should. And they don't treat the Bible as a history book. They treat it as a theological, religious book. And the more we unveil in it, the more we see it's more historical than theological.
Mm-hmm. Yes, wasn't he recommending the Armenians, the Philistines, Phoenicians, Edomites, Ammonites, and Moabites?
Yes.
Against the, you know, which is interesting. You know, I have a illustration dictionary and coordinates of the Bible, and it's interesting because it breaks down Amon and why he was there to denounce King Jeroboam II and wealthy officials for oppressing the poor people of Israel. Amos was a what they got here, was Yahudite or Jordan. Judean, but it really wasn't Judah, who pursued his prophetic activity in northern Israel, especially at Bethel. And he had a home, a small village. And I think pronunciation where he came from is Tekoa, T-E-K-O-A. Am I pronouncing that right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was located in the south of Jerusalem. And in there it says that he was selected by the Most High to prophesy. And his background, he was also a herdsman. And what's interesting, he was a dresser they call a sycamore tree, which is splitting their fruit in order to accelerate the ripening process. And explains, since sycamore fig does not grow in Tekoa, but thrived in a lower altitude. So Amos must have traveled some distance from home in order to carry out his work. So he was called to prophesy by the Most High according during the middle of the 8th century B.C., during the period of prosperity and national expansion. So everybody was doing well, but he was called to prophesy because what they were the same thing amongst the kings and wealthy would do what? Oppress the poor. That's not a good go ahead. Shalom.
Praise God. So he was just a simple man, simple farmer who tended sheep. And the Most High seemed to like those kind of guys because that's what King David was. King David didn't tend to sycamores, but he definitely was a shepherd, right?
Mm-hmm. See, and it said that he talked about much of the blame. He blamed the wealthy. Mm-hmm. You know, in
yeah.
the time of Jeroboam the second,
king of Israel,
king of Israel, and I forgot who else. I'm trying to remember.
King Uzziah.
There you go. Uzziah.
Who was a righteous king
mm-hmm.
of Israel. One of the few of the righteous kings of Israel, King Uzziah. But his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amos. That's a southern name, right?
That's what they say.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yes.
And not too many Europeans named Amos.
Normally, we call our children Amos. That's I've never ever heard any European name their child Amos.
And when you think of Amos, you think of somebody that looks like us.
There you go. That's it. We identify with that, not having the depth of understanding why, but it's in our DNA. It's what we do.
Yep. It's all in the DNA. But you can see how vicious our brother Esau was towards us.
Mm-hmm.
How vicious our cousin Amon was towards us. All the things they did to us, we didn't do to them. But sometimes it's your closest relatives that do you in the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So
they
most
have a fragment, excuse me for interrupting, of the book of Amos. They have a fragment, which is interesting. They found in, I can't pronounce it. I got to get back in my Hebrew. From Ram, Qumran. Qumran. Thank you. They found a fragment of the words that we are reading right now. And even though it's been translated into different languages. And that's interesting. So it's a wealth of history. This man came. And usually when a prophet comes, he says, thus said the Most High. And he did not come in splendor. He had a income, a herdsman, and did other things. And he more or less prophesied against the northern part of it. You know, so this is interesting. Who this prophet was, where he come from, or in lineage. It's historical. Talking about our people, not a foreign people, like you said, not a religion, our history. That now the Most High has allowed, because this hasn't knowledge expand. You know, we have access to information now more so than ever. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
No,
it's great. It's great. Yeah.
Yes.
We have this access because living in this country, our people always didn't have access to education.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take advantage because they wouldn't even allow our ancestors to read or write when they first came over here as slaves. So we have no excuse, right? We have an opportunity to study this open book test to learn our history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thoroughly too. Why is it that other people know us better than we know ourselves? We need to take the time to really know our history. Like most other people know their history, right?
To a degree, yes. It's just that we've become very comfortable in our state of situation instead of exploring. And some of us, still, even if we may have some information, that they don't feel it does any good. And I said, how is that? What is it that you think that this knowledge can improve who you are as a person? There's an identity there. Now, true enough, we can't pinpoint the exact area in which our people came from. But it's so much that is out there. Like, I wouldn't have known unless one relative did a DNA that one of my ancestors come from Sierra Leone. And one of my ancestors comes from North Carolina. And some of my ancestors were involved in the Trail of Tears, the Cherokee. And that doesn't make it that I'm not Israel because of that. See, so we got somewhat of an advantage. True enough, I can't go somewhere and just say, oh, my people are right here. So many of us have gone and paused for this continent and cried and really felt spiritually emotional because they do see people that they can identify when they come back here. We all look alike. They say, oh, wow, remind me of some Joe, Aunt Susie, and, you know. So there is identification that we do have. It's just going to an exact place where we know where the Most High is in power. We know who he is because we can't go to the exact. But he allowed that scattering. He said it throughout the scriptures. We're going to be scattered, so are we. We are. All over the world. Does that make sense?
He also said he would gather us too, so
oh, yeah.
You don't need to worry. All the places that he scattered us in, He said he would gather us back from. So it doesn't matter where you are. He said you could be in the Father's reaches of heaven, and even if you were there, that he would bring us back. In this chapter, though, I thought it was interesting. We had talked about the brotherly covenant in the 9th verse. The three transgressions for Tari. Yes, four. Well, not to the way, it's punishment. Because they delivered up the whole community of Israel to Edom.
Mm-hmm.
Why would a stranger deliver a brother up to another brother?
Mm-hmm. Well, it states that they, otherwise that's our brother, Edom. They forgot the brotherly covenant, didn't they?
And we did too. Why do we hate Edom so much?
Right.
I mean, we have more valid reasons than him for the war that he's perpetrated on us. But Yah tells us not to hate our brother Esau. Don't hate him. I'm going to take care of him. So we have to remain in a brotherly covenant. A brotherly covenant extends beyond our nation because we have relative nations like the Ishmaelites and Edomites and family nations that we're supposed to treat like brothers. And they were supposed to treat us like we were their brothers, but they didn't. They plotted to destroy us. That's why y'all gonna get him, especially Edom. And he's very serious with Esau. He's like, Esau, Edom, for transgressions, I will not turn away his punishment because he pursued his brother with the sword. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? And I remember when I was young, I chased my little brother with an axe. Fortunately, a lady next door saw me chasing him. She screamed, and I dropped the axe. But I had caught a bee, and my brother let it go. He was around 5 or 6, and he's like a year younger than me. But for a brother to chase another brother with a sword, that's what we do every day. And we criticize Esau. We'll punish Esau because he pursued his brother with the sword and cast off all pity. No pity for us at all. And his anger raged continually, like Yamsu said, even to this day. And he keeps his wrath forever, still to this day. Why? Because he didn't get the covenant that he thought he should have got from our father Isaac. But Yah didn't intend for him to have it. So he should have been satisfied with his blessing that he had gotten, because his blessing is great. But he chose to war with his brother Jacob, and we're in that war today. So he's the imposter. He's trying to stand up in the world as if he is Jacob or Israel, but he's not. But Yah gonna deal with him. And that's his burden. And almost his name means burden. And he's throwing out burdens to all these nations for what they've done to the Most High people.
Mm-hmm.
I think Yah is back there cooking them oxen, man.
Yeah, that's just wonderful.
How wrong for that? But you ain't too wrong, though. Thank you.
You know, and that's interesting that, just to sum it up, at the time period that Amos was, and he's considered one of the minor prophets, but yet very important prophet of warning, of letting, as we go further on into the chapters, it's no more than what we're doing the best of our ability today. It's let our people know and look around us and see what's going on. That when I say I always have a thing saying no fear, what I mean is when you know who you are, don't have any fear, unwarranted fear. I can move out of my apartment and go wherever I have to go, but I'm always in my head talking to the Most High of prayer, of humility, of hoping of protection, that I don't harm anyone on a consistent basis. And I can't say it's every day 24, but it's more than I can count. And if we have that set of training ourselves, that set of mind, to humble ourselves in places that we go,
He finds us no fear.
Well, that's one of Most High's commands to our nation, to fear not, because he's with us. And our people lost their inheritance because they had fear when they got to the land of Canaan. They were so afraid of the Canaanites, they lost their blessing. So, Yah, you're an Israelite. You ain't supposed to have no fear. Fear of Yah, yes. But fear of man, fear of evil, no. If you walk in the right path, you shouldn't fear any of that.
Any more commentary?
How about you?
I'm doing okay, bro.
All right, I'm back.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Katriel. Thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
But we do have a beautiful song for you. And it says, the O.M., the strength of his people is caught you up making reference. That's your strength. Shouldn't have any kind of fear. Great job.
I don't know why your phone is breaking up, Yam Soup, but you wasn't too clear on it.
Okay, well, I don't know why neither. Let me do this again then. Cottrell has a beautiful song to share with us. Chapter 25, Psalms.
125.
Yeah, 125. It reads as the Elohim, the strength of his people. That's why you shouldn't have any fear. That the Elohim is your strength. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Many songs, and not just songs written on paper, just to be written on paper, they have significant spiritual meaning. We have to know how to tap into our strength, our power, which is Yah. And if you don't, you're going to have fears. You're going to have doubts because you don't know. But these songs help you along the way to ease your fears, whatever fears you have. Psalms 125. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. No author, huh? I guess this one is not of King David.
No author.
It's in the
yours
spirit of King David.
Yours doesn't have no author?
No.
Go ahead. I guess I can find it. Go ahead and read. I'm not going to interrupt. I'll find it.
You said you want to read?
No, I'm going to find it.
You trying to find what? Psalms 125?
I think she's trying to find out who wrote it.
I saw it. Little
short verses here.
124. Praise to the deliverer.
You're on the wrong page.
125. 125, sorry. Oh, the security of the faithful.
Yah says the security of the faithful. Yam Suf says what? Yah is the strength of his people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's one and the same, man.
Yes.
We don't need the CIA, FBI, Air Force, Marines, Green Beret. No.
No
security
that.
Forces. Most High is our security force. What better security force could you have but the Most High himself? Everybody can't claim that. But we can praise Yah. And that's what we do. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. Go ahead, Sister Yudi.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. And those who trust in Yah, this is how mine reads. Those who trust in Yah I like Mount Zion.
How are you going to trust in Yah if you don't know Yah?
Because Mount Zion, it is not shaken. It remains forever. That's what I'm saying.
So all this talk about destroying the earth and Armageddon, World War III, what did Yah say about Mount Zion?
It is not shaken. It remains forever.
Okay.
As the mountains around Jerusalem, so Yah surrounds his people now and forever.
Is he surrounding us now?
Yes, he said.
Or did he take a break?
Nope. We take a break. He's consistent.
Yah don't take breaks.
Uh-uh. We do, but he don't.
So that forever means something, right? That forever means something, right? Forever is never old, is it?
Yes, always. See what? It's the always, never ending, not new or old, like you said. For the scepter of wrongness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. That's telling me we're going to get our land.
Least you know what a scepter is, right?
The, let me think, I forgot. The law?
So what?
The law.
The law?
I could be wrong. That's why I said it's like a question mark, the law.
No, a scepter is what the king holds in his hand.
Okay,
if you remember the story of Queen Esther, her husband had to point the scepter at her or do something with the scepter in order for her to come into the room to meet him.
Yeah.
How does the scepter look? That's what...
Isn't it something like a rod?
No, well, there's all kinds of scepters.
Most of them are short.
Every nation has their own style of scepter.
Right.
They have a king.
Yeah, it's short. Most of all, I see short little gold silver, and he points it, touch you with it, or point it in your direction. It's exercising his or her power.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wicked scepter out there somewhere. A wicked scepter.
Donald Trump got it.
I think Vladimir Putin got it too.
Yeah. I think little Kim Jong-un got one too. Is this not as expensive as the other? He has made
what,
a wood.
What, the Rocket Man, as you call him?
Yeah. He's made of wood and gold paint.
For the scepter of wrongness, I'm going to ignore that. For the scepter of wrongness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. Least the righteous stretch forth their hands to unrighteousness. Not unless they change. That's what he's saying. Not unless they change. Do good. Oh, Yah, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts, for those who turn aside to their crooked ways, Yah shall lead them away with the workers of wickedness. Peace be upon Israel.
Hallelujah.
Praise Yah.
Turn aside to their crooked ways, go back to their ways. If you turn away from the alien and go back to their crooked ways, the other you should lead them away. Be dear to Israel.
So who are we supposed to do good to?
Let me read that copy in context. Okay. Good, O-L-L, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. Those who are good. Not wicked folk, good folk.
Supposed to do good to the people that are good. And who are upright in their hearts, not deceitful people, not tricksters, not slicksters.
No.
You got to do good to good people.
Right.
and leave all the rest alone because they have crooked ways.
Mm-hmm.
And they work iniquity. So if you want peace, do good to people who are good and those who are upright.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's just that simple, Katria. It ain't hard.
Not at all.
Good to
unless you turn your hand to do evil.
Well,
you don't want
to
do that.
You don't want to do that. Well, that was beautiful.
Yeah, I'm still looking. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So straight to the point.
Uh-huh. No, yes, sir.
Thank you very much. So
you know why it's straight to the point? Because these are songs of ascent. It means direct connection to the Most High. This is where you're supposed to get your strength from, through these words that we're reading, through these songs that we should be singing. These songs that we should be memorizing, songs of ascent. You don't need no intercessor. You don't need no middleman. You don't need no preacher, teacher. These songs take you straight to the Most High. And that's what we got to understand. That's why they call them songs, psalms of ascent. You want to ascend to where y'all can hear your voice.
Okay.
That's why we say are short and sweet. And powerful.
Let me say this. It is. See, I'm stuck on the scepter. I'm like that. I had to look it up. Like, yeah, I'm supposed to look up certain words where it says, the scepter is a ceremonial staff often used by kings. And I was trying to pull up how they look. It's interesting.
Go to Google. Google Images. Matter of fact, the queen just died, right? She passed her scepter to what was he, her son? King Charles?
Yep.
Yep.
He got
this short, like a stick with a round ball or something. That's what I'm pitching in my head. And that's supposed to be a representative of authority?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Every king had one. A crown and a scepter. That's what marks a king. Not just the crown, but the scepter too.
Y'all didn't see it in the little church they had? They put a crown up there and a scepter next to it.
What? Say it again, y'all, so I didn't hear you.
What church you talking about?
No, when they had the funeral in the Church of England.
Mm-hmm.
When they took off and they took a scepter and they put it over there to the side.
Okay.
And I'm sure her scepter is full of stolen gold and stolen diamonds.
You better believe
it. Oh, yeah, you don't know that, though.
Yep,
that the riches of these nations are from the back. Position of being wealthy, which is a fact. It's not a fallacy. No emotion, it's a fact. It's been recorded. They too have reported it themselves that without the riches they obtained would not have been without Israel. Not a faith and will never obtain those riches. I don't think it's meant for us, but the fact that remains that European people, I would say in general, maybe not all, have this built in them, their DNA of privilege. They think that they are anointed by their God to be superior and above every nationality of the world. This is their stance. I've done extensive research for 35 years and seen witness, we all have witnessed and glimpsed of it. Instead of me turning that in and saying, hey, I turn it to education so we can be aware. So we know what to look for. Always know your enemy. And this country's never for us, never was for us. Yes,
anybody can say, oh, this son that have got wealth and homes and education. No, we don't have our land. And we're being ruled by men. It's been proven throughout the ages. Our ancestors wanted it, and then now they're like, uh-oh, we don't want that now. Because he has said to the people, the Creator, they're not going to rule for your interest, but their own interest. I'm just summing it up. And isn't that what's going on right today? You have such a disparity in this country. I'm going to hold your thought for 1 minute and say this. I can feel it. I can see it between the parties. The split is always, this country's always been split. Evident, and Cottrell and Sue have said it many, many times. It is not about this country being great again. This country is coming apart. No matter what you hear, this country is coming apart. And when food shortages eventually will happen, we're the least of the total total. That's one aspect of things. Just don't throw that out there. But go ahead, talk to you.
We have to understand that we're in what's called the fourth kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
The prophet Daniel told us that we're in the fourth kingdom, the Greco-Roman Empire. And its composition is iron and clay. He said iron and clay does not mix. So it's not just America that's falling. It's the whole Greco-Roman Empire. And the Pope got accepted too, you know. And if he didn't give his sanctioning to the European nations that wanted to go in to colonize Africa and make us slaves, they couldn't have done it without the Pope sanctioning it. And he too has a scepter. And when we're talking about the scepter of wickedness, trust me, it goes to high realms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're right. Wow. You're correct. Can we use for good or for bad? Mm-hmm.
That's why these studies are so...
And it doesn't appear to be... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's why these studies are so urgently needed on our behalf.
Because you don't have to be, it's just a person's choice. But for me, my choice isn't to go down the road of being angry. I can be passionate. That someone could be nice, can talk nice, but that doesn't mean they have your best interest. And I'm not saying walk around here being paranoid, but be aware of your circumstance. And there's people I've talked to that are aware of a feel trapped, that they don't know what to do. I said, well, what do you think you can do? And that is to teach. We all teach us to a certain extent. We all are living examples. And people will do right by you, be it regardless of origin, if you're right with the Most High. Small things that are, even no matter how minute, a package that was left at my door. A neighbor knocked on my door to let me know that I got my package. Now, to me, that's a big thing. You didn't have to do it. You see my point? Someone could have took, you know, they take packages. You heard about they take it off the porch. The people, when you're in an apartment, got a package. Yep, they'll walk by and take it, you know. And I forgot, my daughter said, I'm going to send you this. And I'm glad she knocked it. And I thank the Most High. I don't care if people think, oh, that's stupid. I don't give a hootie poot. Because I wouldn't be able to talk to you guys today if I didn't get that back. Just put it like that. You see my point? So we can keep it personal. What we are thankful for, that's okay, or we can shout out and mean it and act it, be involved. I told the lady, bless you, and I mean it. I said, I hope the Most High protect you. When someone look out for you for the benefit of good, not for evil, but for good, acknowledge you. That's my point. Shalom.
Yeah, so we read that in the song, didn't we? What did it say? It says, do good, Yah, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts.
Right.
So when you do good, good is going to come back, right? You reap what you sow.
You're correct. Because you never know who's watching you. You never know. We say it, but sometimes, you know, we get occupied in our own thing in our own life. And I mention these things to help the people who are listening to recognize that to somebody else is a little thing, but to another person is a big thing. It's all thoughtfulness, being thoughtful. Somebody drops something, you go behind here, you pick, you drop this miss or sir. It starts small, but it's moves. But see, that's the thing. I don't like that word. I'm trying to find a different word. It seems the act of kindness that people do should not be taken for granted. That's what I'm saying. It should be given to what? The credit to the creator. That person was moved to do something kind towards you. Because we know this. The people in this country going through a lot of changes. You see a lot of evilness on both sides. It's not just our people. We're the only ones that are being broadcast. But in the European nation, I call them or Jasides, the Caucasians, it's a lot of confusion going on there. We just don't hear about it. It doesn't give me satisfaction, but definitely don't give me satisfaction when I hear about our people. That hurts more. Because I'm more concerned about our people. Where are the others? I want to help my people. Because by helping my people say, I love the Creator. Believe it or not. If you don't love yourself, how you gonna love the Creator? Like Malcolm X said, who taught you how to hate yourself? When we see it constantly, it's just, we see it with the brothers. We see it in our nation. The things that we say, the way we act, the way we dress, our conduct tells a lot if we love ourselves. And there are many out here who do. But we're hard on ourselves. I know that. Many times we are more hard on ourselves, and that's just because we know better. We should, we think we know better, that our conduct should change. But we have to be ever so patient if we say we love the whole time. Because patience is everlasting. There's going to come a time. And right now, I feel sick. We're at war.
I think the word is much more demanding.
Is what?
Especially when your eyes open, your ears open. I think we're much more demanding. And we should be. So we don't want either one of us to shield.
Yeah, you're breaking up. I'm like, you're breaking up. What you're saying is good, but I'm hearing it. Okay, continue.
I said the bar is set low for us. So we try to set the bar a little bit higher and have much more expectation from us. No one else has any expectation from us. Other than the Most High God of Abraham, we certainly should have a high standard of expectation for one another. Been set so low in our community, so the past day and next week, the abomination. So, yeah, we have a high expectation for everybody to go to Jesus.
He broke up a little bit, brother. He broke up a little bit. Okay.
The beauty of studying the Word of Yah is that we have the answers. And the answers that the Most High has given us, they're not impossible. Matter of fact, they're not too difficult. When you think about it, you meditate on it. He's telling us to turn from our wickedness, turn from following the other nations. Return to me, seek me, and it's so simple. Why people don't do it? It's been a problem with our nation from our existence. Why we don't follow Yah's commands and Yah's commands only.
Praise Yah, Kachin. Yah's command and Yah's command only. And from Yah, there is great expectation. You can't do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to force it. That does not work. You have to follow the codification process and the processing and the procedures. We don't follow any kind of procedure. It should be difficult for us. And we say, oh, that's a hard to do because we want to do right. That's not all the time when you were wrong. You spent a whole lot of time doing wrong. You didn't think about it. You have to apply it to it. Now, when the Most High asks you to do the right thing, that is so hard. It's just the way it is sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I caught a lot what you were saying. Oh, yes.
Right. No,
some it is. People. You're correct.
Mm-hmm. We know you love our people. We all love our people. And that's just the bottom line.
Well, I know for me, that the more we learn, the more we study, the more we find out, the solutions that the Most High has given us makes all the sense in the world.
Uh-huh.
And it gives you peace.
Uh-huh.
It does. So, thank you very much for your study. It was beautiful. That was informative. And that was loving. Finding. As the Most High would have it. Katria, thank
you're
you
welcome.
For your. You're more than welcome back. You're Katria. You just do a great job to represent the Most High and doing it. Avia, you do a great job representing the Most High. Keep doing good. Keep being good. Keep doing good. Praise God. Y'all got any closing remarks or comments of the nights or clothes or people? The audience.
Well, good study as always. And my thing is, I say, you do good all the time. If you can't do good, don't do nothing. Certainly don't harm nobody. So stay prayed up and shalom and good night.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael. I don't know if you're always watching the January 6th hearings today, but the doors are closing in on your man Teflon Don, New York City Slicker. They're about to get him.
Well, I did watch it. Shalom, shalom, brother. I fell asleep on it. That's why I came on a little late, about 4 minutes. Okay, I wouldn't be surprised if you did become president again. I'm not concerned too much about him because being a studier of this republic, it's corrupt. They take care of their own, first of all. I follow it, but I don't put a much stock in it on a personal level. I don't. I really care less about him because it's nothing tangible he's doing for me. I'd rather be on this program and communicate with people that are doing something. True enough, he's moved. And yes, they take care of their own. Be it good, bad, or indifferent. We must take care of our own. That's all I got to say on that. And I thank the Most High for an opportunity that we communicate and reason together on your truth and hopefully that the listeners benefit and walk away with some clarity on any confusion that they have. In your name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Good night.
I just mentioned January 6th hearing. Because we should be aware of what's going on around us, as you say. And in those hearings, they talk about how the Proud Boys and this other group, the Oath Keepers, these people are armed to the teeth and ready to go to war in America. And these fools are still out there with their anger, with their hatred, with their universal white racist supremacist thoughts that we're going to overtake them. Which we will, but they ain't ready to fight right now. And things are amping up to the degree that they can't even trust their own FBI, CIA, Secret Service, because they heard about, you know, the insurrection, and they knew these people were going to be armed to the teeth. And what did they do? They didn't do anything.
They're not. Just like with KKK, it still exists. The Black Panther doesn't exist. The Black Panther did more help for people, not only of color, but non-color. More powerful, many nations did good, even developed programs that are being used by the government today. And they're squatting.
My point exactly, because what we saw in the street, what we saw in the Capitol, it wasn't just them. It was people higher ups who embellished them, who helped them, who facilitated them, who planned for them. And we got to be aware of that.
That's something, yes, yeah, oh, yes. That's the truth, that part. But to be alarmed or fear when I speak to people who I have spoken to or listened to, no, just get the information and act accordingly in your personal life. You know, because Yah is not a man to fear. He or lie. Have your trust in him. Be around same-like people. Start developing positive habits and attributes about yourself. This has been the theme throughout, I've been talking about throughout the program, in reading about Amos and Psalms. Change your life around. I don't care because what economic state that you're in. It's a process. Just like right now, the process was unfolding before our eyes, like I still said. This you ain't heard nothing yet. When I did research, I say this real quick, on one of the presidents back then, oh, all of was Congress. All of them were did wrong, evil. And it's crying out for that, that while people are taking down these statues, that's one aspect of people starting to be aware. And certain things are going on and moving in this nation and elsewhere. We must take a look at all of it and not to say a lot. But you're right, Katriel. I do agree with you 100%. I'm looking at the process and what they're doing to this man, and guess what? I wouldn't be surprised. Nothing happens. If it do, well, okay, a slap on the wrist. I really do. I'm not. I don't put anything past man, but I trust in Yah. Hallelujah.
And that's the whole point. While the nations are in an uproar, while they all stirred up, we need to know these Psalms of Ascent. How do we tap into our strength? How do we tap into our power? How do we connect with the Most High, who is our protection?
Yes.
If you're running around there like a chicken with your head caught up and you don't know the codes, then we're here as watchmen to warn you of what we need to be doing and what's out there.
Right.
Praise Yah.
Right. Okay, Yumsu. We can talk for hours. Got to Helen.
Yeah. It was good. Praise God and let you have a new heart and a new spirit. Strength being the Most High. We love you. Shalom.